A day after a million people filled the streets of Brazilian cities in anti-government protests, prosecutors charged the treasurer of the ruling Workers' Party, João Vacari, and 28 others with receiving kickbacks from Petrobras, the state oil company and its related contractors. The Petrobras corruption scandal has shaken the foundation of Brazil's political establishment. The two leaders of the national legislature are under investigation, as is President Dilma Rousseff's former chief of staff. At the time when the corruption was taking place, Rousseff led Petrobras's board of directors. Prosecutors filed criminal charges and indicted executives of key Petrobras contractor companies in December. The corruption investigation, known as Operation Car Wash, has focused on the illicit transfer of $21 million between accounts managed in Switzerland and Monaco. President Rousseff, who was re-elected in October, now faces a resurgent right-wing opposition which is demanding her impeachment. A standoff between students and riot police turned violent in Myanmar in mid-March as police used batons to break up a protest march opposing a new education law. Police detained 120 students and journalists, and the action was condemned by the United States and European Union and raised international concerns about how deeply Myanmar's new regime is committed to democracy. The student-led Action Committee for Democratic Education condemned the new education law for its strict control of all aspects of university life. The group's manifesto calls for the establishment of student unions, freedom to study Burma's diverse ethnic languages, and increased funding for education. Although the government released some of the detained student activists, it blamed the protesters for the violence, provoking criticism from the National League of Democracy, led by Aung San Suu Kyi, winner of the 1991 Nobel Peace Prize. Human Rights Watch blasted the Myanmar police for using excessive force against protesters and using plainclothes undercover officers, asserting that this marks an ugly return to the street violence of military rule. Before the police killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and Eric Garner in New York City, which together sparked months of protest and the birth of the Black Lives Matter movement, the U.S. Department of Justice knew they had a problem. Top data crunchers concluded they could not adequately count the number of police killings across the country each year. According to the Guardian newspaper, while a special team inside the U.S. Bureau of Justice Statistics had for years collected data on police arrest-related deaths, three states failed to provide any statistics, and 13 other states gave incomplete and inconsistent data on arrest-related deaths. DOJ statisticians, who were uncomfortable with the reliability of the annual total number of police killings, decided to close down the project in March 2014. But last December, President Obama signed a renewal of the Deaths in Custody Reporting Act, which was created to monitor deaths in prisons and jails, but which also mandates that the Justice Department count arrest-related deaths. The new law might resurrect the counting program in enlarged form, with new funding and support. Some observers find the government's failure to track officer-involved homicides especially problematic because it appears to be part of the institutional racism meted out to African Americans by the U.S. criminal justice system. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.